When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. There's some good news we can start this strange news off with this week. There is a suspect who has been arrested in the Delphi murder cases, as they're popularly known. Now, Matt, Noel, this is something that we had talked about in the past as an unsolved true crime. You guys remember that one?
Yeah, two very young girls who lost their lives, and there didn't seem to be any leads for years and years and years.
Other than a cryptic, an incredibly disturbing audio recording, right? One thing that we did, I think, correctly in this, when we talked about in the past, is we noted this: the scant evidence available was all that police and law enforcement had revealed in the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German. As of now, a man named Richard Allen is in custody, but the arrest records are sealed. So we're keeping an eye on this one, and we'll update. But in the interim, all we can say is we hope there is justice and closure for the families. Today, we're going to talk about some other strange mysteries. We're going to talk about some other violent things. There is a producer who was raided by the FBI and then disappeared for quite a while. We'll have an update on that. There is politically motivated violence that is prompting a national conversation in the U.S., though maybe not a conversation with the tenor you would expect in the wake of these attacks. But first, maybe we open up by talking about meat prices. It's a weird way to get into it, but man, for anybody, anybody who's been to a grocery store recently, especially if you, like the three of us, are on the carnivorous side of Michael Pollan's Omnivore's Dilemma, you know the meat prices have gone kind of nuts. You know, you might be trying to buy some ribs, some nice spare ribs, do a little Korean barbecue, only to experience sticker shock. What's the last time you guys went and bought some meat and Were you surprised by high prices, or do you have a hookup? Because this fully selfish question here, I'm looking for a better place.
Well, you can always get one of those Meatbox subscriptions. Just putting that out there.
Nah, you need a meat person, like a meat guy or meat lady who just got the hookup on those meats.
Have a meat cute with your meat guy.
Hey, there you go. But it's been a while since I've actually purchased some meat in that way. I did get some bacon not long ago, and it was more expensive than I'm accustomed to when buying bacon. Though eggs,
going up to like $8. Yeah.
Eggs were right on the money.
There we go. Because people know now how to rig a lot of those economic or a lot of those favorite metrics of economists, right? Milk, eggs, and bread. Those things you can keep at a somewhat stable price point usually. But if you have seen like us, the price on a lot of different meat products, whether in grocery stores or in restaurants, a lot of restaurants now, they have a disclaimer that says due to inflation or due to supply chain issues, these prices have to be increased, right? Then you may have seen this, folks, and you may have thought, hang on, why don't I do my own heist if these folks are heisting me at a grocery store?
Yeah. Why not create a giant criminal enterprise with three human beings, which there's got to be more than three human beings. All right, let's talk about this. In today's Meat Minute, we're going to a story from September 22nd, 2022. So this past September, it's coming to us from ABC Channel 8. And here's the title. 37,000 pounds of missing meat in York, that's York County, leaves investigators craving answers. Ha ha ha!
Da 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 da.
And this is coming out of Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm going to read quite a bit of this because it's a short story, guys. A refrigerated trailer, a large one, was stolen on Saturday, according to the York Police Department. Police say the thieves transferred the 37,000 pounds of meat it was carrying into another trailer before disappearing. This happened around the same time that more than $750,000 worth of meat was stolen from three trailers in Grand Island. The trailers taken from that area are still nowhere to be found. This crime spree comes just a few months after nearly $400,000 worth of beef was stolen across our area. So
where's
far,
the beef? We don't know. That's,
well, sorry, so far, I'm there done. Are no reports of any arrests in any of these cases. So that was from September. That's a lot of meat being stolen. And my question to you guys before we even jump into the rest of this story, what do you do with 37,000 pounds of meat if you're going to try and take it to a black market somewhere? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that even function?
What would I do, or what would other, like, it's the
yeah, what would
classic
you do?
Always Sunny. Like, you haven't thought of the smell. Anyway,
you.
But yeah, it's tough. It's like, what would you, you know, it goes back to things like the maple syrup heist or other, you know, cheese heist in Europe. Which are a thing.
But those are two things that have more of a shelf life, at least in I believe, mm-hmm. right? Meat is, if you're not storing it correctly, that much meat, you need a huge facility to keep it cold or freeze it or something.
Right.
And then do you do the heist with the refrigerated truck that you've also heisted? Or is this like your thing? This is your crew's specialty is heisting meat?
But if you've got
37,000 pounds, that's a big truck.
Yeah. And if you're using the same truck for multiple heists, like it appears that somebody is stealing a ton of meat from different places. Somebody's going to pick up on your trail pretty easily if you're in the same truck getting away from those crime scenes every time. It's weird. I don't know what you do with black market meat. I want to learn more. There is an Great. Interesting Mental Floss article that I want to get into that gives us some historical context about missing meat in the past, or black market meat, rather. Mm-hmm. But for now, let's jump to the Washington Post, who wrote on October 27th, "Forget bank robbery. These men stole $9 million in meat, feds Ooh. Say.
I bet they made you know, they made, actually, it's not a bet. They provably made more money off this heist than one would make in a typical bank heist. The economics of bank heist are not what Heat has led you to believe, folks.
You're right. But the handy thing about money is that even though you got to flip it somehow, right? You got to wash that money somehow if you're going to get it off your hands and actually make money on a bank heist. In this case, you got a bunch of meat that you got to flip somehow to actually make that $9 million in meat. It's a very strange thing. So I'm going to go through quite a bit of this article too, guys. Stop me. Just jump in when you're ready. Let's just go through it because it's a little complicated, but it's really interesting the way this investigation came together. It started with stolen beef, according to the Washington Post. Nearly 400,000 of it in two semi-trailers taken from a lot in Emerald, Nebraska. That was back in June. So this is going even further back than the previous article we mentioned. By the time the authorities had finished tracing the missing steak, they'd uncovered what they say was an organized enterprise by three Florida men who pulled off about 45 separate thefts of meat and equipment over a year and a half. Impressive, honestly.
These are the Florida men that kind of have their heads on straight. It would seem they're still doing Florida men-esque type things, but they're not like running naked through a, you know, quickie mart high on meth. This is like pretty organized.
Again, also, yeah. Florida man is an unfair stereotype.
I know, I'm joking.
Discriminatory laws passed in Florida. Everybody vote. So it's a really good point, Noel. They do seem to have their wits about them. This doesn't seem a crime of passion nor of impulse, right? Someone has knowledge, right? That's the thing, right? They have to know a little bit about placement, process, and timing.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. These are men from Florida who are traveling from Miami to the Midwest, to various locations across the Midwest, knowing where to go, where to pick up trailers that are already full of meat, and then take those trailers, like attach them to their own trucks often, move those trailers away, then take the meat out and blow out their incense. You know what I mean? Sorry, that was a reference to Noel. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot. They have to have a lot of knowledge. Something is going on here. So these three guys, whose names you can find if you look them up, I'm not going to name them just because they've been arrested, but nothing has been proven of what they've done. But we'll see why the investigators are pretty sure in just a moment. These three men were arrested on October 20th in Florida on charges related to all of these thefts we're talking about. The authorities spent over a week tracking them, like tracing these guys, all of their movements as they watched thefts occurring. So they were up on their cell phones, and they also placed GPS devices on several trucks, large trucks like semis that these men were driving. And they literally just watched them travel throughout the Midwest, stealing some things from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, specifically, where they watched them steal it. They watched their movements as they moved the product into different places and then headed back towards Florida. That's when they got picked up, and that's, you know, when they got arrested and charged. But some other weird things happened along the way, you guys. Just some strange stuff. We talk about government surveillance all the time. When you're not under an active investigation like these guys were, you don't imagine that anybody's going to put a GPS tracking device on your vehicle, or that someone's just going to get a court order to track your cell phone or be up on your cell phone wire style, you know? But that's what happened to these guys. That's what happened to these guys. And you have to imagine if you're pulling off these high stakes. Thefts, you'd imagine that somebody's watching you or, you know, paying attention to you. And they most certainly were. When these guys, this is one of the weird things to me, when these guys got stopped on their way from South Dakota, where they stole 19 pallets of ham, which was around $130,000 worth of pork, by the way, something like that. He was stopped by the Tennessee Highway Patrol. The stolen pallets of ham were on that truck, and he had a phony bill of lading, that thing that said, you know, that we just learned about, that it's the thing that it's your shipment manifest, basically, that says, here's all the stuff that I'm carrying for this company to go to this company. All of that information is in there. It was
sophisticated.
Phony. It was
sophisticated, though.
Yeah, right. He had it ready to go. So he knew. He's got an insider understanding of how the shipping meat thing goes.
He knows how the sausage is made.
Yes. Oh, perfecto. Just worse from here. Perfecto. Yeah. But because this dude, this driver, one of the three men, wasn't registered with the Department of Transportation to haul goods, the officer cited him for violations, but didn't arrest him. I guess it was unknown that these 19 pallets were stolen, at least by that Tennessee Highway Patrol, right? There's no communication happening. Sure. So they just let him go. They continued driving until they got picked up again or stopped again in Florida. And again, state troopers pulled him over, who again showed that phony bill of lading and showed off the ham again. Like, hey, it's just ham, man. It's all good. There were some other police officers who were involved in the investigation following them. And that's when these guys got picked up, when they arrived back to Miami, just to show that they were transporting it all the way back down.
Which is an important question. So many questions, in fact. So, Matt, it sounds like we're of the same mind that these are the street-level operatives, right? They're not necessarily the brains of the op. I mean, you hear bill of lading, you hear the knowledge of where to hit and when. I have a theory. If it's all right.
Please.
Oh, okay. Man.
All right. So here's the theory. This is profound speculation. Not too long ago, we looked in depth at how, the theory, the headline, cartels. Not too long ago, we looked in depth at how cartels have been diversifying their portfolio as they become increasingly corporate entities from, basic racketeering and protection rackets all the way up to dabbling in agriculture, right? Running avocado schemes, which are a great profit center, honestly, as anybody who's gone to Chipotle knows. But the next thing I'm asking, does it sound like it would be a possibility that a large organized crime group could be behind this, right? Would that not answer the infrastructure question?
Dude.
You would need some restaurants to fence this stuff, or wholesale suppliers to wash the meat the way you wash money.
And a lot of cartels and organized crime rings or whatever own restaurants, and operate them as fronts potentially, and may have folks in their circle who would just buy this stuff sight unseen.
Yeah, but
you don't steal that much meat without a client. To your point, there's a shelf life there.
But the thing is, with a front, you have to keep everything looking as above board as possible with those.
That's a good point.
You're bringing in stolen product like that to actually sell, that could be a big red flag. If you're smart enough, you know that. So it feels to me, I think you're right, Ben, this is going to be Sonola special pork that's going to be on sale stores or something. That's very interesting, Ben. I was thinking it actually might end up getting shipped to somewhere. This sounds weird, but somewhere that really needs food right now. I'm thinking about like Puerto Rico, that's still dealing with the aftermath of, a disaster.
Confiscated. Are you saying the plan was to ship it to these places?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like maybe the plan was like, maybe it was less criminal. Maybe it was more that I don't know. Maybe
That'd
it was
be nice. That'd be great. It is interesting though, with what you're saying there, Matt, because, ICE was involved, HSI, whatever we're supposed to call
them. What does ICE stand for, Ben?
Immigrations and Customs Enforcement.
And now
Homeland Security. Let me remember it correctly. Homeland Security Investigations, which on its website calls itself a vital U.S. asset in combating criminal organizations illegally exploiting America's trade, travel, financial, and immigration systems. Interesting that they would be there. And then again, to your point, I don't want this to get buried, Matt, point out something lovely. Elio followed these guys to make sure that they had an airtight case for interstate commerce.
Yep. Interstate commerce. And then, you know, they're taking it to Miami, which is a great place if you want to load something up on a cargo ship. Just saying. Who knows? We don't know. We don't have the information. All three men have been released on bail as we write this, and they're awaiting to be arraigned. So we shall see what happens, what comes of this. But in a weird way, kudos to you guys who figured out how to steal all that meat.
I bet you they got bail. I bet you part of the reason they got bail is to, you know, throw the little fish back and see if the big fish bite.
That's a good point, Ben.
You're not supposed to say that out loud.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's part of the investigation, Ben.
We're just speculating here.
Speculation station.
You're right.
As they
you're
say
right.
on Ridiculous Romance.
All right. Well, that's all the stolen meat for today. We're going to hear a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with more strange news.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with a story that definitely has folks on both sides of the political divide, I don't know, trying to figure out a position to take on it, I guess. I mean, the obvious position: when an elderly gentleman has his home broken into and is attacked by a hammer-wielding psychopath, would be empathy. And I hope he's okay. But as we know in politics, it's usually some way to spin it. And we're seeing spin happening on both the Republican and the Democrat side. The gentleman in question is Nancy Pelosi's husband. Nancy Pelosi, a very prominent left-wing lawmaker, Speaker of the House. Her husband was at home asleep in the middle of the night at their San Francisco estate when a person allegedly broke in by smashing a glass sliding door, like French door kind of situation. Apparently, Mr. Pelosi was awakened with this gentleman sort of like lurking over him, which is terrifying.
And yelling a phrase.
Yeah, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? Repeatedly. The gentleman in question, Mr. Pelosi, by the way, is 82 years old. The attacker in question is a person by the name of David DePape, DePapa, D-E-P-A-P-E, 42 years old, I believe of Oakland, California, which if you're familiar with the Bay Area, is not but a hop, skip, and a jump away from San Francisco. And was apparently there, as evidenced by the comment that you you referenced, Ben, to find Nancy Pelosi, who is a very powerful Democrat. And it's interesting considering this person is from the Bay Area, and you kind of consider, you know, that part of the country to be almost exclusively liberal. Definitely know that's not the case. There's always going to be outliers, and this person seems to be an extreme outlier in that he was armed with a hammer and had plans, it would seem, to kidnap Nancy Pelosi, or at the very least hold her and her husband hostage. There is some talk, whether it's from, I believe, interviews with the subject, where he claimed that he wasn't going to assassinate her. He just wanted to get information from her, you know, what he, I guess, would believe to be secret information, and was just going to smash her kneecaps.
Okay. Because he doesn't do email.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do email. He doesn't write his representative. And, you know, again, this is an instance in a spate of politically motivated attacks and violence, acts of violence that we've been seeing kind of an uptick on. There was that guy that, like, I think broke into an FBI field office and shot up the place. There's just quite a few examples of this. This is just another in what has become a pretty troubling trend. And most Republican lawmakers and higher ups have condemned the attack. Because, you know, they're all in the same game. They're all, you know, essentially they're public figures, and an attack on one of them is potentially an attack on all of them. You know, it just goes to show the vulnerability of people in that position when there are divisive issues at play. And people have very strong opinions. Not to mention the climate we're living in of politicians just kind of saying whatever. Not really backed up with facts, and folks can be radicalized very quickly. This seems to be a person that was radicalized by QAnon type conspiracies. And I believe they interviewed a close associate of this person, Mr. DePapa, saying, you know, God help you if he started talking about politics, that he had just really kind of gone down that, that rabbit hole of paranoia. And, you know, the story would end there, you know, if it didn't end there, which it doesn't, because it has become very quickly a source of conspiracy theory. I think there was it's been fed. It's being fed by some also very influential and divisive people. First and foremost is a little fellow by the name of Elon Musk. You might have heard of him. He has 112 million Twitter followers. And in response to something Hillary Clinton tweeted, which I tend to imagine was some sort of empathetic, I hope he's okay, my thoughts are with the family situation, he linked out to a website called smobserved.com. The headline being, "The Awful Truth, Paul Pelosi was drunk again and in a dispute with," it's cut off on this Twitter post, but the gist of it is with a lover. That the accusation is that this man, Mr. DePape, was actually in a relationship of some sort, a sexual relationship with Paul Pelosi, and that this was an escalation of some sort of drunken quarrel that they had. And there are claims in this article that the window, or the door rather, was not broken from the outside. It was broken from the inside.
That's what I heard Donald Trump saying.
He repeated that.
Donald Trump in an interview. And it was definitely in the spirit of, you know, you hear the same things I hear. This is what I heard. But I didn't see a lot of analysis from Musk nor Trump regarding those claims, to be fair.
There isn't. And he literally said what you just said, Ben. You hear the same things I do. He said, I heard it wasn't a break in, but a break out. And again, this is an attempt to demonize Mr. Pelosi, who I believe has had some public, issues in terms of with drinking and things like that. But that's just not what's going on here. That's not at play. And this is just a way of like hijacking the conversation and turning it into like a nasty kind of mudslinging situation. So Elon Musk tweets a link to this article that makes all these claims. The website that he tweeted the link to is notorious for spreading misinformation, for posting unfounded accusations and things kind of, masquerading as fact. And so then, of course, Elon Musk is getting yelled at by the internet, rightfully so, in my opinion, for just casually, saying, I think there's something more at play here, or maybe, again, responding to Hillary Clinton. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene comes to Elon Musk's defense and saying, Marjorie Taylor Greene being a very divisive and inflammatory figure in the Republican Party, from her Twitter, the same mainstream media Democrat activists that sold conspiracy theories for years about President Trump and Russia are now blaming Elon Musk for, quote, internet misinformation about Paul Pelosi's friend attacking him with a hammer. The media is source of misinformation. And again, saying these things as fact, there are no, from the reports, of law enforcement and investigation, there's no evidence of any of this being the case. These men knew each other, again, in a state of terror, I imagine. Paul Pelosi was able to excuse himself and use the restroom for a second. And he called the police and kept the phone on, which is what you're supposed to do. And the dispatcher was able to kind of figure out what was going on and sent somebody out. And the people that came out, the police actually witnessed, apparently, Mr. DePop cracking Pelosi in the head with this hammer. He has a skull fracture. He's still in, serious condition. I believe in an ICU type situation, this may have changed, but he's a 80 something year old man.
82.
Who's just 82 year old man who's just been hit in the head with a blunt instrument. And it's essentially being used as a talking point by folks like Marjorie Taylor Greene and sort of like a very in bad taste sort of joke among certain members of the Republican Party.
So question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question. So with folks who are prompting this, I guess, or touting this alternative narrative, this sort of fanfic about what happened to an elderly man, how do they explain the reports from the officer side about the other stuff DePape was found with, like not just the hammer, but the tape, the zip other ties. Hammer, the gloves, the zip ties. Like, do they say that was planted evidence or do they address that?
There is a certain sentiment that this is some sort of false flag situation. Again, a lot of these things are just said in little offhand moments. Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana tweeted and then deleted a post on Sunday that pushed another conspiracy kind of mocking the attack. And then Representative Claudia Tenney from New York retweeted a picture of several men carrying hammers outside of a home with a United Against Hate sign and a gay pride flag. So it's just very strange. And the fact that it isn't just, pure empathy coming across the board. I mean, Mitch McConnell, has condemned the attacks, but he also hasn't condemned his colleagues for saying these things. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, I can't help what people say. It's rough, man. Let's see. So in a dear colleague letter to members of Congress, Pelosi wrote that a, quote, a violent man broke into our family home, demanded to confront me, and brutally attacked my husband, Paul. Our children, our grandchildren, and I are heartbroken and traumatized by the life-threatening attack on our pop, which is cute. And the political stuff aside, I'm not a huge fan of Nancy Pelosi personally at all, but it's, this is outrageous. And the fact that someone was home invaded, menaced, traumatized, and then actually physically attacked. I just don't think there's any room for little jokies about that. Yeah. It doesn't seem right to me.
We're in that position where we're all pretty vulnerable. Some of us much more than others to believing this kind of thing, because there's such a distrust in police in general right now. And I know it's a massive generalization, but it's just true. It's at least increased quite a bit since, you know, what do you think, guys? 2010, maybe 20.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
yeah,
really
no longer. You're right. You're right. Yeah.
I would 100%. Say September 12th, 2001, if I'm being absolutely f-ing honest.
In government too, right? So any government institution and an official statement coming out of that government institution about something that is purposefully closed off to the public, mm-hmm. right? The details mm-hmm. about it are closed off because it's either classified or it's part of an investigation. Anytime we're in that situation now, the rumor mill is just going to start churning. And it doesn't stop churning. And if there's one bad faith actor out there, or maybe a handful that want to stir the pot or get some clicks, they can get that engine started and it just proliferates.
Well, yeah, I would agree. I'd also add, this is a very important point, that this kind of propaganda disguised as hot takes, it is meant for a specific audience. They're not writing these things to look to convert people, right? What's happening, and the reason I say propaganda in this case, propaganda isn't always untrue, but they're demonstrably easily disproven claims in some of these, I don't even want to call them theories. You have to remember, if it sounds crazy to you, you're not the intended audience here. This is a lot like, as screwed up and American as it is to sound, this this spectacle, this bread and circus's take on this kind of thing, it is dehumanizing, but it should be treated with the same level of serious regard that you treat the trash talking by the Macho Man Randy Savage or The Undertaker right before they do a fake wrestling match. Sorry, kayfabe, the secret is out. But the reason I'm pointing this out is because, you know, it's easy to dismiss people who might fall for this stuff, might follow it the way DePepe did himself, you know, 42-year-old guy who is other than online screeds, not much is known about this individual at this time. Exercising empathy, to your earlier point, Noel, is paramount. You know, it's so crucial, but it's in very short supply these days.
Well, and the last one, this one is just so gross. Trump's eldest son retweeted a picture depicting a hammer on top of a pair of underwear with the message, "Got my Paul Pelosi Halloween costume ready." So it's like, I mean, this is whatever your political affiliation or ideology is. This is folks actively mocking an octogenarian who has been attacked and brutalized. And I just don't think there's any room for that. So, let's take a pause here and we'll hear a word from our sponsor and then we'll be back with one more piece of strange news.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text Snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we are ending on a to be continued piece of strange news. This is what I would like to call it. Eyes on a lot of stories in the course of making this show. And as always, it can be difficult to find just a few things to focus on for the weekly strange news segment. Let's introduce everyone to someone you may not have heard of, fellow conspiracy realist, but you have probably seen his work at some point. His name, James Gordon Meek. He's in his early 50s now for a long time. He's a lauded American journalist, writer, narrator, producer. He did stuff like a documentary film in 2021 called 3212 Unredacted, nominated for an Emmy. It was about the Green Berets in Niger in 2017, part of the Tongo ambush, which you can look up, but you almost won't certainly will not find reported in depth in your local U.S.-based news sources. In 2006, he reported on an al-Qaeda plot to deploy some bombs at the Hudson River. This guy's legit, is what I'm saying. He's got his stripes. He even was a counterterrorism advisor and investigator for the U.S. House Committee on Homeland Security. He looked into the Boston Marathon bombing. He was about that life. And he may not be about that life for long. The story here starts in October, late October. His home was unexpectedly raided by the FBI, unexpected to his friends and his colleagues. So this is us walking up to the rabbit hole. The guy's legit. His reporting focuses on geopolitical stuff and counterterrorism. So often it's going to be considered apolitical, even in these divisive times. Not everybody in ABC was his friends, but you can find in the Sex on Rolling Stone article how he's described as something of a military fanboy. Shout out to Tatiana Siegel, who wrote this original article. And he was seemingly like at the prime of his life. He had a book coming out on the military's withdrawal from Afghanistan. And he was living in this apartment in Arlington, Virginia. Pretty nice place. Right. He's got the top floor, just to paint the picture. And then when the FBI raids him, suddenly things get even weirder. More news comes out. The raid happens with unmarked cars. Right. So not necessarily desiring to make a scene. You see this in a lot of true crime fiction. And it's actually not too off base. Sometimes police will want to make a public display, do a perp walk for the cameras, right? We got the bad guy. Sometimes FBI will want to come in and have more of an established presence. Your tax dollars at work, saving the world. This was not that case. Except for local police, most of the cars were unmarked. And the raid, get this, 10 minutes. Mm. It's stem to stern. The raid was 10 minutes long.
Just for electronics, maybe? Like, that's it?
Yeah, just maybe looking for one thing.
Yeah. I don't
know. Maybe they're part of the meat conspiracy, and they were like, the ham is in a different state. But
we checked all the freezers.
We checked we're done every, here. He's got a deep freezer, which is weird for an apartment, and a refrigerator.
But really, Ben, out. Like, that's nuts to super me. 10 short. Minutes.
Mm-hmm. 10 minutes implies
well, either, that means they know what they're going for. They've got, like, right. Yeah.
It implies either this isn't the whole story, or they knew exactly what they were looking for. In this case, for someone who does military counterterrorism and war journalism, sounds a lot like he was playing fast and loose with something classified, right? That's a reasonable assumption at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, until we know more about this. Part of the reason that this raid was only 10 minutes long was that his residence was apparently empty and had been for months. Also, he unexpectedly, out of the blue, resigned from ABC months before this raid occurred, and he went to ground. Curiouser and Curiouser, you know? Or Curiouser and Curiouser, whatever accent you prefer. But that's nuts, right? So it appears that he knew something was coming.
Wait, Ben, really quickly, just a bullet point, the order here. Did he resign, move out, and then get raided? Or what was the order of operations?
Okay, so upcoming book on Afghanistan, right?
Yeah.
Lots of reporting behind him. He's got a hell of a career, and it seems like he's in the catbird seat. Unexpectedly resigns, too.
Okay.
And then ghost, becomes a ghost. 3, FBI raid. 10 minutes. 4. Oh, by the way, his apartment's really nice. Do a little digging. It's like, it's pretty upscale. If you are not familiar with Arlington, Virginia, it's not the poor part of Virginia. So he's these Siena Park apartments, right? That's our order of operations.
Okay.
Solid dude, or at least solid professional, unexpectedly hands in his papers. Then there's this very weird, very short raid. The FBI's official statement was that this raid occurred on April 27th, quote, at the 2300 block of Columbia Pike, Arlington, Virginia, conducting court-authorized law enforcement activity. The FBI cannot comment further due to an ongoing investigation. And this is still the official statement. The guy has not been charged with a crime. This is quite likely the first raid to be carried out on a journalist under the administration of President Biden. The search warrant was signed off the day before the raid, and no one had seen the guy since. So this led, honestly, I think I group texted you guys about this. I was reading about this from the day it popped up on my radar, and with the fog of war that happens in these kind of things, you know, you have to understand one of the big red flags, one of the first canaries to die in a coal mine of fascism, is always going to be harassment and arrest of journalists. It is a consistent pattern that has never not happened when a nation state is collapsing. So this, as you can understand, fellow conspiracy realist, is very concerning to people like us who follow these trends. So, of course, everybody is starting to think, this guy got black bagged. What was he building in there? What was he working on? And other than the upcoming book, nobody really knew. And this is something interesting because, let me ask before we get to the twist, would it be reasonable to assume that given his experience and journalistic acumen, this guy would have known it at least enough OPSEC to avoid breaking the law? Like, wouldn't he have been able to have some journalistic protections in place, et cetera, et cetera?
I think journalists of this kind, this is hardened and investigative journalists, know they're going to be breaking some kind of federal law at some point in an investigation, maybe, right? Like being in possession of a classified document that you're not supposed to be, that you're not supposed to have. But just what you said, Ben, if you work for an organization, a big one like ABC, you know there's a huge team of corporate lawyers behind you if you do get caught with that information, right? Or the classified stuff that you're not supposed to have as a part of doing your job and telling a story about it. Because often a journalist like this isn't going to release a full document or something, right? There's going to be steps taken, much like The Guardian has done in the past, like other major outlets have done in the past. Stuff's been redacted to protect the government, even though the outlet is revealing things about that government, right? That's often what occurs. I feel like this guy would have known he was protected.
Well, that's the thing, Matt, because just last year, a new policy went into place, which is supposed to look, it's not just us on the show saying that harassment and detainment and, you know, vivisection of journalists is a sign of trouble. Shout out to Khashoggi. Other people know this too. People in the halls of government. So there's a new policy that came out in 2021 that prohibits federal prosecutors from seizing journalists' documents unless the deputy attorney general approves. The deputy attorney general now is Lisa Monaco. So if the raid was for this guy's records, the deputy AG would have had to say something. And so far, no one's speaking about a case. No one's saying this guy was charged with this thing. And the folks you worked with at ABC are also investigative journalists, to your point. And they had a quote where they said, collectively, they said, he fell off the earth. He fell off the face of the earth. Everybody asked, no one knows what happened to him. He resigned very abruptly. He hasn't worked for us for months. That's specifically Kim Godwin. The network put out this statement saying that he resigned for what he said was personal reasons, and they refused to comment or report on speculation. So if you are not plugged in, right, if you're not part of the FBI or you're not deputy AG, et cetera, or you're not Meek himself, then this looks a lot like a journalist getting disappeared. Spooky, spooky stuff, just in time for Halloween. But yeah, there is fortunately a twist.
Oh,
kind of. Yeah, kind of. Well, another twist, I guess. Yeah.
A good one?
Okay, let's see. It's a 4 out of 10.
Okay.
So this happened just yesterday as National November Novel Writing Month begins. Ben Ashford, a journalist in Virginia, writing for, of all things, no offense, the Daily Mail, which doesn't have the best reputation as a source, broke the news. James Gordon Meek, after being a ghost for 6 months, for more than 180 days, has been found. He is at his, or he was, he's probably not there now, to be honest with you. He was at his mother's townhouse in McLean, Virginia. He refused to answer any questions, including the reports that agents may have found some sort of laptop associated with him that contained classified info. His colleagues have said that if he had any classified stuff, any sensitive materials, you could call them, it would have been for a story he was working on, right? They're essentially, in a roundabout way, they're saying, we don't think he's a spy. You know what I mean? And spying is, again, finally being a publicly acknowledged problem here in the U.S. The thing is that he was, another little nugget of information, he was supposed to get an award for his coverage of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, but he ducked out of the ceremony back a few months ago in May. And he, if you look at the pictures here, you can see him now. If you look at this article here from Daily Mail, then you'll see that he's definitely alive. It's definitely him. He just, I don't know, you could call it over-reporting because the article describes what he looks like, describes some background, but really all you see is a guy who looks in pretty good shape for early 50s getting into an SUV several blocks away of his own accord.
Do we know how tall this guy is? He looks like a huge, big fella.
Yeah.
He's pretty tall. Yes, he is a tall guy.
He's very dapperly dressed, too. He's wearing a very cool scarf situation. He kind of looks like Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
in the distance. Yeah. Well, it's good that he's around and alive, at least.
Maybe it's a Breaking Bad vacuum cleaner repairman situation.
But then that scarf, by the way, I believe is called a keffiyeh.
Yes, that's right. It is one of those.
Yeah, so sure. You'll see a lot of war journalists who wear those. I don't think so, because this guy is smart enough that he would have avoided any kind of visibility, right? Like that. You know, he probably wouldn't have gone to ground at his mom's house if it was a serious need to disappear situation.
Yeah.
Like our friend Elizabeth Greenwood points out in Plain Dead, one of the best works on faking one's death or suicide, if someone's not sloppy about disappearing, there are going to be two reasons they get caught. One is trying to get money from like an insurance thing or some sort of other account they want to touch. And the second is staying in touch with anyone, literally anyone from their past life. So he would be smart enough, we can assume, not to play that particular reindeer game. But as of now, the story is developing. It does seem that James Gordon Meek is alive. What was the FBI's beef with him? Unknown. What is going to come of this? Unknown. Unless, of course, you want to help us out, fellow conspiracy realists. We want your thoughts on who's behind the great meat heist. We want your ideas about the weaponization of crimes against the elderly. We would also, if you're game, love to hear your take on what the hell is going on with the FBI and James Gordon Meek. We try to be easy to find online.
Yeah, I think we succeed mostly. You can find us on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter at the handle Conspiracy Stuff. On Instagram, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We also have a phone number you can call. 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. Leave a code name, if you will. That'll help us remember you when you call in again. And you got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Please let us know if we can use that name and your voice on one of our listener mail episodes, which we're going to record here in just a moment, by the way. For now, hey, call that number. Find us on social. Or if you want to send us a bunch of information, why not try email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.